Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ever sort of wonder how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit actually work together?
It's a huge question, isn't it?
It is. And today, we're diving into this really helpful framework called the Threefold Covenant. Think creation, redemption, and transformation.
Right. It helps us see how the Trinity acts, you know, dynamically. Each person leads in one aspect, but they're always completely intertwined.
Exactly. Interconnected. Like that perichoretic idea we touched on before, they mutually enrich each other. So our goal here is to unpack this, see what it means for, well, for you and the world around us.
It's fascinating because it shows both the distinct roles and the absolute unity of God's purpose. It's not like dividing up tasks, more like a seamless flow.
Okay, let's start with creation then.
Uh-huh.
Seems like the Father is the initiator here, one kicking things off with the plan.
That's the traditional understanding. Yes, the Father's will is the origin point.
Yeah.
But crucially, it's not a solo act.
Right.
The Son, as the word you know, God's own reason and communication made active, that's how the Father brings things into being.
Okay, so the Father decrees, the Son speaks it into existence.
And the Holy Spirit, that's the power, the energy. Think Genesis 1, that wind or spirit moving over the waters, the effective force making it all happen.
So Father's vision, Son's articulation, Spirit's power. Got it. And our sources mentioned Romans 4.17, yeah. God calling things into being that, well, didn't exist before.
Exactly. Through this unified action, it shows creation isn't just some clockwork wound up and left, but God's ongoing commitment. Remember the Royal Society guys? They were looking for God's handiwork.
That's a great point. It's a relationship, a promise.
Precisely. Which leads us to the shift, right? When humanity, with Adam and Eve as the, you know, the archetype, turned away.
Ah, the fall. So what did that actually affect according to this framework? Did creation itself break?
Well, the sources suggest not the structure itself, not undisactically. It's more that the direction, the purpose, got twisted away from God.
So the fundamental stuff was still good, but its orientation was off.
You could put it that way. A broken relationship, a misdirected purpose, not a cosmic structure failure.
Okay. And that leads us naturally to redemption. This is where the Son really takes the lead, but acting on the Father's will, correct?
Absolutely. Becoming human, living, dying for humanity. It's the Son carrying out the Father's redemptive plan. It's like the Father's love reaching out through the Son.
And the Spirit's role in redemption.
Also crucial. Enabling it, applying it. You could almost say opening the gate, allowing that reconciliation to happen. Think about Luther.
Oh, right. His big discovery about justification by faith.
Exactly. That we're accepted not because of what we do, but because we're covered by the Father's love for the Son. It's grace mediated through Christ, applied by the Spirit.
So not our works, but God's work in Christ.
That's the heart of redemption.
Which then flows into transformation. This seems to be the Holy Spirit's lead role, working in redeemed people and eventually all of creation.
Yes, precisely. The Spirit takes those redeemed by the Son and actively shapes them, conforming them to Christ. And it's broader too, purging evil, leading towards that new heaven and new earth.
Kuiper's idea of common grace fits here too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Spirit's influence isn't just in believers' hearts, but in culture. Society.
Right. Alongside the special grace of salvation, there's this broader, restraining, and sometimes even renewing influence of the Spirit in the world generally.
And there's that story about the Cappadocian fathers.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic example. They won people over not just by arguing, but through their actual care for the sick, the suffering, especially during plagues, things the Roman Empire wasn't really doing systemically.
So the Spirit's work had tangible, visible effects that drew people in. Transformation in action.
Definitely. It showed a different way to live, empowered by the Spirit.
Okay, so let's pull these threads together. It's crucial to understand salvation is squarely in that redemptive covenant through Christ's work, right?
Yeah.
Not something earned by being created or by our own transformation efforts.
Absolutely key. They're distinct, but they build on each other. The Son as Logos, the Word, provides the very basis for creation, the standard. When that's disrupted, the Son as Christ performs the redemption.
And then the Son as Lord, through the Spirit, leads the transformation towards the final goal.
Exactly. And those biblical covenants we read about, Adamic, Noahic, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, they often seem to be like mixtures of these three strands revealed progressively through history.
So you see elements of creation's promise, redemption's necessity, and transformation's hope in all of them.
Often, yes, it's a developing picture, but the core distinction remains. Father as origin, Son providing coherence and redemption, Spirit enacting power and providence, all working together seamlessly.
Always together. That perichoretic dance again.
Mm-hmm. Distinct actions, never isolated, always unified.
So the big takeaway for you listening, maybe ponder this.
Mm-hmm.
How does seeing God's work through these interconnected lenses, creation, redemption, transformation, change how you view God's activity? Is it just past and future, or is the Trinity actively creating, redeeming, and transforming right now in the world and maybe in your own life?
That's the deep dive to think about.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in.